This week we have some US sporting royalty in the house. Nathan Walker, Australia's first pro ice hockey player, is here to have a chat about life, sport, change.
All the good stuff
about it. Yeah, mate, like listen to this story. It's a pretty cool story. Hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by Whey Ultra, a 100% whey advanced performance protein designed for results. The ultimate in post-workout nutrition, Whey Ultra boasts a 4x whey protein matrix of peptides, isolates and concentrate, is loaded with BCAAs and EAAs, and is rapidly absorbed for maximum recovery and lean muscle growth. It's enhanced with prebiotics, probiotics and 5 digestive enzymes, plus is free from soy, gluten, added sugar, artificial flavors and sweeteners, and every batch is banned substance tested. Everything your body needs for recovery, nothing you don't.
Welcome to Body Science HQ. Today with me, Nathan Walker, Australia's first pro ice hockey player. Mate, this guy has kicked goals. He owns himself a Stanley Cup championship. So how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me. This is awesome. And
on board, our man Jansen, 10 years with Body Science. Mad Canadian, mad hockey man.
That's it.
So we thought we'd bring James in to have a little bit of a chat with us about, you know, life in the US sport, mate. Like, that's a big play.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a big move moving over there. Definitely took its toll on the family and myself, but it's at the end of the day, it's what I wanted to do, and the support system back home was incredible.
So how does, and let's celebrate this, the Shire boy, God's country, as you said earlier to me.
Oh, yeah.
Go the Mighty Sharks. How does a boy from Cronulla end up playing in the highest level of ice hockey in the US?
I just loved it. You know, my brother and I, when we were younger, went to an ice session, and, you know, from there, we just decided to start hockey, and then, you know, the Mighty Ducks movie obviously played a big role in that too. You know, just kind of kicked off from there, and then I just fell in love with the game.
I mean, I love that Mighty Ducks movie myself, but...
Can you pull off a knuckle puck?
No, to this day, I still can't do that.
I'm going to Google that later, see what that is.
You want knuckle puck.
You were telling me, and you were laughing as you were saying it, that the Mighty Ducks and Mystery Alaska, two movies, the second one with Russell Crowe and another big Aussie name making it in the US, was part of the inspiration for you taking on the sport and going to the levels you have. Have you caught up with Russell in the States?
I have not. No, I'm still yet to catch up with him. I'd love to, though. It'd be a great time, I think, to have a good chat with.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about the playoff against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Before we talk about the actual game, were you absolutely, like, how old are you? You're
25 now.
25 years old. You're only two games in with the team. Is that correct at the time?
So I actually started the season with Washington that year, played 7 games with them, and got put on a thing was called waivers. So any team in the league has 24 hours to pick you up.
24 hours.
Yeah.
So you got to run a family and a life around that.
Pretty much. Yeah. You know, you pretty much just let the wife settle everything with all the bags and everything, and you go straight to the new city. I mean, I was fortunate enough to get picked up by Edmonton, and you know, the next day I was there, and like I said, the wife had all the bags, and she's walking through the security checkpoint with 10 bags or so. You know, we think we're moving up, starting a whole new career and a new life in Edmonton, and then, you know, 3 weeks later, Edmonton decided to do the exact same thing as Washington did. So back on waivers again, go through the whole process again, and then Washington picked me back up, and then ended up playing in their farm system for that year.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty stressful time, just before Christmas too. So you're trying to get presents sorted out and all that bullshit, and then that happens, and it's like, oh man, this is just stress.
It'd be pretty tough, yeah.
How do you even take a rental agreement there? Like, seriously here, like, you've what, 7 games there, 2 games there? Like,
we were just in the hotel the whole time, to be honest.
Just living hotels.
Yeah, we were living the hotel life for a little bit.
Wow. Is it common for a player to play his career with one team?
No, not really. If you go your whole career with one team, then, you know, that's pretty good on you. You know, most guys will go to a few different teams and try their luck somewhere else if they haven't won anything and all that good stuff like that.
So, mate, what was like that skating out for your first ever, because that was the first time you ever played in like a Stanley Cup championship, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the first playoff game.
What was that like? In.
It was insane. I mean, the morning of that game, the coach pretty much said, all right, listen, you're going to be in. You know, my headspace before that was that I was there as pretty much the extra kind of player in case someone did fall injured or ill or anything like that. You know, unfortunately, a couple of players were injured, but for my sake, that meant, you know, I get to skate on or run on, if you would.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was unreal. I mean, the feeling was just so incredible. You know, it was definitely one of the loudest buildings I've ever played in. That atmosphere was just insane. And for us to win that game in their building was just incredible.
And how do you escape, like, sport in America, unless people have been there and seen it, it's another level to anything we do here. How do you escape that leading up to game day?
You look yourself in the mirror and just say, you know, it's another game. You know, you've done this when you were 8 years old, 15, 20, now you're 25. You just got to do it.
Yeah.
Just go out there, play the game you play, and then just, you know, something bad happens, sometimes you just shake it off and go back out there.
You actually had a nice little touch leaning into one of the games. You've got a lot of speed, haven't you, as a player? Like, you're all about getting the puck to the right people.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm not tall to say. You know, I'm only 5'9", so I'm not 5'8" and a half or something. Yep. But yeah, you know, I try to get the puck to the guys who can put it in the back of the net, and, you know, with my speed, try and get the puck for them.
And speed's an important thing in your game?
Yeah, it's huge. That's pretty much my whole game, is just moving my feet and trying to beat other players to the puck.
So how does and this is the part I get, like, obviously from a skill perspective, it's not just speed, is it, when you look at what your positional play is?
Yeah, there's a lot that comes into it. Yeah. You know, it's puck control, speed, you know, the awareness of where, you know, your teammates are, the other guys, the opponents are. There's a lot that does factor into it, but, you know, it comes pretty naturally when you've been playing it for, you know, 20 plus years.
Mate, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. James, you play a bit of ice hockey too, don't you?
Play a little bit of here and there every Thursday night.
Yeah, a lot of you may not have seen James around on the national sport, on the international sporting arena, but he's he's a 10-year body science staff member this week.
Yep, that's it, yesterday.
Yeah, there, mate, we're stoked like that. It's nice that you can come on board and have a chat with the crew here today. Mate, let's talk about the sport over there is played differently to here. Like, you don't get breaks between games, so you effectively don't train, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, we play 82 games, and then you add playoff games. You know, you could be playing 100 plus games in the span of 7-8 months. It definitely takes a toll on your body, so the practices, they cut down a lot shorter, you know, for that, you know, have that precautionary injury prevention kind of thing. But practices are like 20-30 minutes 40 minutes tops.
And that's mainly on ice, or are you getting in the gym at all? What are you doing?
Yeah, you try and do the workouts, but obviously with playing so many games, you don't want to get too fatigued before them. So you just got to kind of manage that the right way.
Like, you're talking one of the most elite sports in the world over there. What are you guys doing between games for recovery? Like, what is it that's helping you get to the next game?
You know, whether it's nutrition, you know, whether it's a quick shake after the game to get all the nutrients back in your body. You know, the skin tight wear is huge too. All the recovery, keep the blood flowing, especially on the flights after the games too.
Have you got 10 physios and 7 masseuses traveling with you? Like, what's a squad look like traveling?
I think there's usually 3 doctors that come, or two, three doctors. Then you got the trainers, the masseuse, and then all the other guys that kind of come on board too that help out during the season.
And so how big is a squad that travels?
It'd be roughly around 25 players, or maybe a little less. Say around 23 or so. Mm-hmm. And then you got about 10 staff members that'll probably travel as well.
Okay. And have you guys got your own jets you travel in, or are you going commercial? What are you doing?
Yeah, you're in your own jets, which is just pretty
hard life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough.
In the minor leagues, it's mostly bus.
Yeah, in the minor leagues, you're mostly on the bus, except if you're playing in like Manitoba or something in Canada, then you usually get your own plane where they'll just fly out to the games and all that good stuff like that.
So, mate, what's it like walking the streets in, like, an Aussie guy walking the streets in your hometown now is St. Louis, is that right?
Yep, St. Louis, yeah.
So obviously you're a new signing, and that's big media over there, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. You know, it's definitely a new start for my career, and I know I'm excited to get it started over there and see what that organization I can bring to the table, and it's going to be a new start, and it's going to be nice.
Yeah, what are the fans like? Are they diehards?
Well, they just won the Stanley Cup, so I'm sure they're pretty happy with their team right now.
Yeah,
not too bad going from one Stanley Cup champion to another team, eh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, go straight from Washington to St. Louis. Yeah.
Oh, so you've got 2 under your belt?
No, I was with Washington last year.
Okay.
St. Louis won it last year.
Okay.
Just going from Stanley Cup champion team to another one.
So how does, you've obviously got a manager over there that manages you during those times when you're getting thrown around everywhere. How does that work? Like, what is it that you called it you're on some list?
When he's on waivers.
Waivers.
So between the major league team and the minor league team, when they send you down to the minor leagues, that's when you're in that little bubble, if you will. And any team from the league has 24 hours to pick you out of that bubble. So then you go to that organization, you pack up and go to that team and that organization there.
So the way it would go, if your coach decided to put you on a waiver where you're at now, he drops you down to another team, does he?
Yeah.
Okay. So every team's got a second team supporting it.
A farm club.
There's always a feeder team, farm team.
Mate, it's big. It's massive sport. How many teams are we talking about here?
There's 31 in the NHL.
31 teams.
And there's another one coming in next year.
Next season.
Seattle.
Seattle, yeah.
Yeah. What type of companies are supporting the sport? Is it your big ESPNs and the big beer companies and stuff?
Yeah, there's a lot of beer companies, Gatorade, Bauer, all the hockey manufacturers and everything are right behind it. And then a lot of local companies boost on board with the teams as well for sponsorship and everything. So,
and is the whole of America covered with teams? Like, is there a good spread of teams, or is it?
Yeah, all from East Coast to West Coast, and then Canadian teams in there as well. You know, Toronto, and then you got the Vancouver team as well.
How do the Canadian people enjoy the NHL? Is that their favorite league?
Yeah, they love it. I mean, you can probably ask James more about that.
Yeah.
What do you reckon, James?
That's our national sport technically is lacrosse, but you ask anybody and it's hockey. Basically, when you're 2 years old, you learn how to skate, and that's about it. It's everybody's dream to play in the NHL, and it's an awesome sport.
So, mate, you're obviously you've just won your championship, and you're now heading into preseason. So what's a preseason look like for you? What are some of the goals you're trying to achieve?
Just get back to where you were at the beginning of last season, just because you lose a lot of muscle mass, you know, a lot of that explosive power. So you try and gain all that back, and the conditioning obviously is a pretty big thing as well.
Are they heavy into the drug testing of sport over there? Do you get drug tested all the time?
Yeah, it's pretty random. Yeah. You'll never know. You know, you could get tested 1 week and then sure enough the next week you can get tested again, or you can go the whole season without getting tested.
Interesting, hey? It's a pretty big beast when you think about it. So, mate, where is Australia at in relation to NHL? Have we got a whole lot of players coming in? Have we got a good feed?
There's a couple of players from Australia that are trying to, like, they're playing in the lower leagues, I think. Like, a lot of kids will move away from Australia to Canada or US to get more ice time because there's not a lot of ice time in Australia. Like Nathan...
Yeah, what's your story in that? That's a good part there, James. What was your story in that, Nathan? Your lead up to getting to, from someone from the Shire to getting to where you are. What happened with your life? What's the journey there?
I left when I was 13 and moved to the Czech Republic. Played there for 6 years.
Whole family or just you?
Just myself, yeah.
Wow, 13.
Yeah. I actually wanted to go earlier, but my parents pretty much said no. Still
fair call too, just
still
quietly.
A little young. Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah, I was approached by one of my coaches and he pretty much said, listen, if you want to make a career out of this, you got to get out of Australia now. It's just, there's nothing here for hockey wise. It's just too hard.
So what did that look like? You jumped on a plane, who looked after you? How'd that work?
My mother actually came with me for the first 2 weeks of it, had a tryout, made the team, and then she came home and then I was with a billet family who didn't speak English. I didn't speak any Czech.
Wow.
And it was definitely a big culture shock. It was huge. It was crazy.
At 13, I would have been in the corner crying. Like, seriously, that's how I would have rolled.
It's a big move. It's a big jump.
So you spent how long in Czech?
I was there for 6 years.
You're very fluent in speaking Czech now.
Yeah, I speak it fluently, yeah.
Are they big in their hockey over there?
Yeah, they love it. Yeah, all the European countries are pretty big into it.
So how does leaving Australia going to Czech, what's the next journey from there to get to the States? Because obviously NHL is not played in Czech. So why was Czech a good step towards getting to the NHL?
There was a couple of contacts there, which just kind of made the transition from leaving Australia a little bit easier. So we went over there, you know, had the tryout, made the team, and then just kind of stuck with that system for a while. And then it got to a point where I just needed a bit of a change. And I wanted to, you know, I obviously wanted to come over to North America at some point, but I was playing professionally in Europe. And then I moved to the States and played junior, so I was almost like taking a step back to try and take two steps forward. Yeah, you know, I made a decision with my agent, my family, then that, you know, it's probably the best thing for me.
And your wife's an Aussie girl?
Yep, she is. Yeah.
So when did she come over, and when did all this start?
We've been together for 11 years now.
Yeah,
10 plus 11 years.
Wow.
So she was coming back and forth throughout the whole time, but because of the visa situation, she's only been allowed to come over since we've been married. So she's only been with me for 1 year, the full season now, but she'll be coming back with me for the second full season now.
So do they travel with you as well with the team?
No. They just stay at home in the hometown. Yeah.
Okay. So you've gone to Czech, you've played in the European League, you said?
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was good. It was different. Yeah. A little bit different hockey than the North American style. Mm-hmm. It's a bigger rink.
Okay.
So you don't, you know, different certain plays that you would make in North America, you probably wouldn't make in Europe and vice versa. But it's still good hockey. It's just a little different.
And you were how old then? How old are we now?
I was 17 when I first played in the professional league there.
So you're playing full professional league at 17. What was it like physically for you? Because what you're 85 kilos and 5'9".
It was different. There's not a much physical play. There's not much physical play in Europe. So it's a little bit easier for a smaller guy to get around. But in North America, it's a bit more physical and it definitely takes more of a toll on anybody.
Let's talk physical. Let's get into what everybody wants to hear.
Yeah.
Hey, what was your first professional fight?
It was my first game. My third game, sorry.
Welcome to America.
My third game, sorry. It wasn't too much of a scrap, but it was a little bit of initiation to the game in North America, and it went all right. Didn't get my head kicked in, so it was good.
Do you get a lot of shit on social media about how you fight and stuff? Like, do they really voice this on?
Some people do, but it's not that bad. I mean, you know, people know I'm only 5'9", so I'm not, you know, they're not expecting me to go out there and beat someone up.
Yeah. That's cold. I love it.
There's some good fights out there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone's seen the highlight reels. Where does physical violence fit into the NHL? Like, obviously the rugby league here and the AFL have all banned fighting in sport.
Yeah.
And depending on who you talk to, from athletes new and old, some believe that's good, some believe that's bad. Like, your sport owns that really, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we're really the only sport that's allowed to do it and still, you know, still continue to play and not get suspended and all that, that stuff that comes with it. But it's part of the game. I mean, it's a momentum changer. It's, if you take that out of the game, then the game of hockey will just be, it'll just be a lot different. And, you know, some guys will lose jobs over it. Yeah. And it, you know, obviously the fans want to see that too. They, you know, they, everyone loves a good biff every now and then.
I think it sort of also takes away any chance of like cheap shots and everything, I find.
Yeah.
Like if there's fighting, if there's two guys that are going to go out there and just settle an argument or whatever by throwing fists, that's good. Because that means a goon's not going to go out there and like headhunt your top player and like get away with it, you know? So
I don't actually understand that. Can you explain that to me?
So like if there's a top player, like he's your top scoring center or something, and he's on a hot game, someone takes him out, like a cheap shot or whatever, a fighter's there to basically take care of that other guy or make sure that doesn't happen.
Okay.
I guess. Is that
roughly
about?
So they're your best friends on game day? They're the ones you're shouting beers with after the game and stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
You are my best friend. Come here, my shout.
Like Gretzky had a guy, Dave Semenko, and he basically made sure nobody touched him. I think you gotta keep that in the game.
Where are we at in the sport with head knocks? I mean, concussion's a massive thing. The movie that came out in the States with the NFL. Yeah. Like, are they talking about that in your sport at all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's huge. Whenever there's spotters in the crowd now, so if you were to get hit in the head or if you lay on the ice for more than 5 seconds, I think it is, then they'll pull you off and do the equivalent to the HIA here in the NRL. Yeah. So they'll take you off to the quiet room and do all the tests there and evaluate you further whether you can go back on the ice and play or if you need to get more tests done.
And are they really serious about that? Like,
Yeah.
I actually got the questions asked of me the other day without a head knock, and I couldn't actually remember the answers. It's not an easy test.
No.
The things they're asking you to remember.
No. Usually before the season, we'll do a test on the computer where it's all...
Oh, they set a baseline with you.
Yeah. So you do the baseline again, and you know all the numbers and words and everything, and then you do that test, and they evaluate both tests, whether if you're obviously significantly worse, then, you know, it's probably something's wrong, and then they'll look into it a little further, and if you're waking up with a headache and all that kind of stuff like that, they'll look into it further and reevaluate you again.
And are players fairly open to talk about that now? Is it still a taboo, don't talk about it? I don't want the coach to know I've got...
Yeah, no, I think with everything that's come out with, you know, after your career, if you haven't said anything, then, you know, you're going to be in a little bit of a troubled spot, you know, in regards to your actual life after hockey. So I think most people do open up about it now and they take the right precautionary reasons for everything.
Do you hang out with the basketballers and the other US sports? Do you all hang out together and breathe sport or...
No, not really, to be honest.
Is that busy? 82 games a year.
Yeah, well, I mean, the basketball play the same, and they're, you know, it's kind of tough to get you know them around because they're doing the same thing we're doing. They're off on road trips, and then we're off on road trips and all that stuff like that.
You guys ever cross paths at the because they share the same stadium sometimes?
Yeah.
There's a transition of basketball game one night and then a hockey game the next night. Do you guys run into each other?
Yeah. You run into each other, but I mean, it's just a quick, you know, 20-second, 30-second chat. It's nothing really too more than that. I mean, some guys I'm sure are good friends with them, but personally, I haven't really gone out for dinner with anyone or anything like that.
And does the Australian made crew get you in to talk to events? And are we promoting Australia via the NHL these days? Or
it's definitely getting more recognition than it was, which is good. But it's just tough. I mean, we don't really have the climate and the I don't even know what to say, but it's just we don't have, you know, NRL soccer. That's all the big things here, and I think that's probably just the way it's going to be, which is unfortunate. But it's just tough over here to do that.
What do you reckon, James? More hockey in Australia?
Well, I mean, there's a group that they bring out a team of American and Canadian players to raise awareness about concussions and everything.
Okay.
So they have like a couple of exhibitions as well. Gives Aussies a little bit of an idea of what the game's all about as well. So there's definitely more televisation of the games now on Fox Sports and stuff like that. So it's pretty good.
Well, there's no shortage of games. 82 games a year. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy. Definitely,
man.
Takes its toll on you.
How do you go with injury management with 82 games? Like, you've never had a major... stop my career.
Oh, I've torn my ACL.
Oh, you have? That's pretty major.
Yeah, so that was a big one. I was out for 6 months with that. That was tough. But I mean, my knee's good as gold now, touch wood.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just the big major one I've had.
Okay. Is the NHL very helpful in getting you back?
Oh yeah.
Like the team you're with, is like they put everything into that?
Yeah. Every team I've ever been with, everyone on the team has always been looked after, you know, whatever you need in order to get back on the ice as soon as you can. They're always very, very facilitating with all that.
So how many players are there in the NHL? Like when you put all the players together, you're playing 82 games, you've got a squad of 30 or 40, you said?
It's like 25.
25?
Yeah.
And there's, how many teams did you say?
31.
There's a lot of people playing professional ice hockey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then include the AHL and the East Coast Hockey League. And
yeah.
There's a lot of hockey players.
Yeah.
Is it big in the colleges system?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the college hockey system is really big. Yeah. Really good, too. Really is good it? Hockey, yeah.
They pack out stadiums like they do with their other sports?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Not as much as football. I mean, football's the big college sport, but all the hockey stadiums are usually pretty full.
Did you go through the colleges system on your way through? Did you do any colleges stuff?
I didn't know. Oh, no. So I was in Czech for my junior career, and then I played half a season in the junior league in the States, and then after that season, that's when I started playing professionally in North America.
And what's the junior league in the States?
That was called the USHL. Yeah, but there's also Canadian junior leagues as well. There's four big leagues there, and a lot of players come from either those leagues or the college system.
And how are you guys picked? Your manager, is he talking to the US about how you're going, keeping you going there, or are there scouts flying the world looking for ice hockey players these days?
Yep, move scouts, shit.
What do they have, those combines like the NFL does where everyone gets together and shows what they've got? Like,
yeah, there's an NHL combine where they get all the, you know, the top 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds that can be drafted, and they'll do the combine like the NFL does. But then you'll also have scouts from Europe come over and watch games and, you know, tick down guys that they like, and then they could contact their agent about potential deals over the next year. And then other teams from in the NHL can also do that as well.
Let's jump on preseason. Like, what's your preseason back in Australia look like? You've come home to obviously nest a little bit and kick those goals?
You know, it's definitely a time to recuperate and try and recover from all those little niggly injuries you accumulate during the season. So I usually give myself 5-6 weeks off the ice, you know, just put the gear away, don't look at it, just kind of, you know, mentally reset from everything. And then I get back in the swing of things, you know, whether it's running, you know, skating again, getting the inline skates on, going for a skate, just kind of everything to try to get the body prepared for a whole nother season.
And during this time, in these 5 to 6 weeks, is your coach telling you, gee, I want you to put on 4 kilos, I want you to work on some part of your training? Or?
There's some guys that the coach will say that too. I've been, you know, pretty good with my weight and everything like that. I want to get bigger and stronger, obviously, but at the same time, you don't want to put on too much weight because then it'll slow you down
a little bit.
Yeah, so I just try to work on that quick explosive power with, you know, with a lot of box jumps and a little sprints and little dashes of speed and everything like that.
And have you got a favorite type of training you like doing?
I like doing agility stuff. Yeah. You know, I find that very, very helpful and it correlates pretty well to on ice stuff.
Okay. You're 5-6 weeks here, sleeping in your own bed again?
Yeah.
Yeah, feels good.
Oh, yeah.
So what's a typical day on a plate look like for you? You get up at, what are you doing over this off-season?
Yeah, I usually get up around 7 or so, just kind of whenever the body, you know, tells me it's time to wake up.
Yeah, nice.
Brekkie and then head to the gym. Whether my conditioning has to be before my gym workout or after, I just, you know, correlate it with the corresponding workout for that day. So it could be anything from agility to a conditioning run to then, you know, heavy weights or a light day in the gym. And then if it's a Monday, Tuesday or Thursday, I'll either go out on the ice and skate and do my conditioning or agility out there as well.
And you're reporting back to HQ on how you're going, or are they pretty much say see you in 5 weeks?
Yeah, it's pretty much, you know, you better come back to camp in tip-top shape, otherwise you know you won't make the team and you might not have a job. So there's a lot of ownership on yourself to make sure, you know, you can look yourself in the mirror and say, all right, you got to get back to work and, you know, go lose the little summer body and get back into the hockey shape.
So over these 5-6 weeks, you're having your Australian Christmas, your Australian Easter.
Pretty much, yeah.
Your birthday party.
We've just actually talked about doing a Christmas in July with the families, just because it's a bit tough with everyone trying to get off work to come over for Christmas. So we're actually just talked about that. So that's going to be another bloody 3 days of eating big turkey.
A lot of turkey and everything.
No protein in, you know, just stay away from the bread.
Oh, holy. Lots of bread rolls with that.
For those of us that haven't played in elite sport in the US, so a typical day for you is you get out of bed, you got to be training at what time?
During the season, you know, usually set the alarm for 6:37 or so.
And you're pretty much living in a hotel with the rest of the players, aren't you, at this stage?
That's just for the first couple of weeks of the season. But then once you're there, then you'll find your own place and all that good stuff. Usually practice is around 10:30. You're on the ice for 30, 40 minutes. And then depending on if you have a game the next day or in a few days' time, you'll have a gym workout. And then, you know, the rest of the day is yours.
Oh, so you got the whole rest of the day. Are they making you guys study or do anything
No.
As part of your post career?
No, not really. It's totally on you what you want to do.
Totally on you.
You do time, yeah.
Yep, do the time, make it happen. So are you doing any study, doing anything exciting?
I'm not, no. I need to get into something though. But yeah, no, I just spend the day with my wife and we just, you know, whether we go exploring in the city or
you're still that age and that thing where exploring's unreal and having your wife there for the first time full time would be nice to actually check some of that out.
Come home to some lunch, it's perfect.
So it's a
you don't have to cook.
It's a half day session for you. There's no afternoon sessions in.
No. It's usually done by 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then you know the rest of the day you can hang out with your buddies and all that good stuff.
So if you're playing 82 games a year, I assume you're away a lot. So do you fly back after every game home, or do you continue the journey around in a circle?
It depends. If you got a trip, you know that's 30 minutes away. You could just do a day trip. So you just fly out the night before, stay there, and then come back the next day. But if you're flying all the way to the West Coast, then you could do the California teams there, which would be like five, six days, and you play all three teams and then fly back home.
And so living that lifestyle, are you still only doing morning training together? And
yeah, it's all the same, same schedule when you do all that.
So when it comes to your medical and all the things that happen with elite sport, is that all morning sessions as well, or are they getting you to come in after?
It all depends. Usually when you're younger, you're at the bottom of the food chain, so you have to wait, which is pretty fair, I think. You know, the big dogs get their treatment done and then you wait till your turn's up, and then it could be, you know, 3-4 o'clock until you can get treatment done. But that's, you know, that's just the way it works.
And when you talk about the big dogs and yourself, what warrants a big dog in the NHL? What is someone who's a big dog?
Just someone who's played a lot of games, you know, someone who's obviously respected around the league and around the locker room. And you would know with a guy that's been in the league for 10 years versus a guy that's been in the league for 1 year, you just have that respect for the guy that's been around, and you would, you know, you'd try and help him out, and he would obviously be helping you out as well.
Yeah.
You'd obviously give him that respect that he would deserve.
So the mentoring side of the sport, do you have dedicated mentors in your team that you obviously got a protector?
Yeah.
But is that traditionally your mentor, or is...
Yeah, you certainly have guys where if you had a question about the game or about a city or anything to do with that, or how, you know, what storage unit should I use in the summer, there's definitely guys on the team that will help you out with everything like that. And even the guys' wives are really good with that, because they've, you know, they've been in that city for so long or X amount of years, they can help out with all stuff like that.
You got any questions that as a hockey player in Australia that might, you know, behind the scenes stuff, James, let's dig in. What do you got?
Well, I mean, like for a young kid, 17, 16 years old, like what's your message to them that if they want to like follow your same road, like what's the best thing to do?
That was one thing I got told when I was younger, and it was that work is always going to outbeat anyone with skill. I mean, obviously you get those freaks who are just completely just skilled, but they don't work, and it's, you know, that's a one every, you know, 1,000 players or whatever. But if you're going to work hard, then everyone's going to notice that. And I think that goes a long way. And then just be a good person. Being a good person, I think, gets you a long way as well.
Nice. Good advice.
Because I guess, there's players out there that they have all the talent in the world, but then they just don't want to practice it, or they don't want to work for it.
Covers a lot of sports.
And I mean, like a lot of players will play junior in Canada and then they'll get drafted, but if they don't take the proper training or whatever, then they sort of disappear.
What's life like around the NHL? What's the media commitments for you as a young Aussie who's got a ring? Like, not many athletes ever get that ring or that trophy at the end of the year. Like, you've kicked two big goals by being a non-ice hockey based country athlete playing in the biggest league.
Yeah.
So how much does the media want you?
They wanted, you know, a lot at first, but it kind of dies off once they've done the big stories and everything. It just kind of dies off, which is pretty normal. I feel like they cover it, and then if something big happens, they'll cover it again. But if not, then they kind of just ask you the normal questions of, you know, how you feeling, how's the game, and kind of, you know, all the random questions that, you know, a post game interview would consist of. But it's every day. It could be every day. It could be, you know, once a week. It could be once a month. Just kind of depends on what's been going on through your career and how you've played and all everything along those lines.
Yeah, nice.
And you guys do a lot of community work as well.
Yeah, we do a lot of community work, whether it's with sick kids, go to the hospital and, you know, see them, give them all little like stuffed animals and stuffed toys the mascot and all that stuff. You know, whether it's going to the soup kitchen and, you know, helping out with all that. There's a lot that the hockey teams do, not just a certain team, but I think the whole league does a really good job with helping out the community.
That's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good. How it goes good a long way, I think, for a lot of people as well.
And back here in Australia, you're part of the Matt Clark Shield charity event?
I wasn't this year, unfortunately. It was, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but it was my first anniversary, so I had to miss it for that.
Fair call.
Yep.
So, and that's all about raising funds for leukemia. Why is leukemia so important to you?
My good friend was diagnosed with it, and he's beaten it. And wow. Yeah, it was, sorry, I'm going to get emotional here, but he beat it, and it's meant a lot to me. He was a really good friend of mine. Yeah.
My wife's brother died of leukemia, so I'm with you on that one, mate. Was your mate a hockey player?
No, he wasn't. I played footy with him.
Footy?
Younger, yeah.
So are you back in the Shire now? Is this where you've hit the Shire again, or are you hanging around somewhere else in Australia?
Yeah. My wife and I, we're from the Shire, so we hang out there. It's kind of tough when you cross that bridge to go out of the Shire. Got to make sure I get all my shots to get outside of the bridges. But no, it's a good spot. Well, I love it. You know, the Shire is always going to be home to me.
Yeah, that's nice, eh? Been a TV show about the Shire. Did you get any in on that?
No, I wasn't a part of that.
No, what a shame.
I don't really think that was really good, to be honest.
No, they put one on the Gold Coast, dude. Didn't do us any favours either, mate. Do you wear GPSs and stuff when you play?
No, they're not allowed to track players because it could be a team could use it against the player in contract negotiations.
Okay.
So where the NRL here, they say, all right, you clocked up 30 kilometres only once the whole season. You know, you should be doing it at least 5 times a season. We're going to give you X amount of money less. So that's where the NRL players could.
Because there's some great data coming out of GPS.
Oh, it's unreal to see where they've run around the whole pitch and how fast they're running.
And the knocks.
Yeah, and all the hit-ups, the runs and everything. Yeah. But then if a GM or a manager was, you know, smart enough, he puts all that together and could put a little profile together and get behind.
Yeah, it's interesting who owns that data, isn't it? The team or the athlete?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Where is that? So outside of GPS, what type of technology are you using to monitor performance?
Just a heart rate strap, really. Yeah, we wear that just to see if we're hitting a certain load at practices, just to make sure you get into that performance level in order to be getting better every day.
And everyone's wearing those?
Yeah, everyone can wear them. Yeah. Because obviously you want to be playing and you want to be getting better every day. So that's a big thing. And that's pretty much it.
So how many Ks obviously in the NRL guys run about 12 Ks, I think, in the AFL's 15. I could be wrong there. Please don't throw the hate. But what are you guys doing in a game?
I'll be honest, I have actually no idea.
No idea?
I don't know. No, I wouldn't know.
Wow.
The average shift is what, 40 seconds or something?
Yeah, 30, 40 seconds is the average time you're on the ice. And then depending on if you're a top six guy or a bottom six guy, usually top six guys will be playing in between 17 and 22 minutes or so. And then a bottom six will be playing in between 10 and 15.
Okay.
So you play certain amount of minutes depending on what kind of player you are.
And what are you?
I'm a bottom six guy. So I'll be playing around the 10, 15 minute mark.
So get on there, do your thing.
Do my thing and then get off, yeah.
How's that for an athlete to come on and off, turn yourself on and off and on and off during a game?
That's all right. I think it just stems from doing it your whole life kind of thing, and then you just get plugged into every different system and level that you get to.
And then the different leagues that you've played in around the world, they're all running those same type of strategies and theories? Like that's
pretty much, yeah. You have different systems and everything. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a coach will imply something a little bit different, and every team will be a little bit different, but it's more of the same thing. And
except for in beer league. Beer league, you stay out there for like 3-4 minutes.
3-4 minutes, yes. Yeah.
That's your league you're playing here,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
You love it too, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You're a goalie, aren't you?
Sometimes. Yep.
Depends who turns up.
If you're goalie, yeah, well, that's it. And then you're on there for the whole time, which is a little bit better, I guess.
You get your ice time up.
Yeah, well, that's it.
I just couldn't imagine being a goalie in ice hockey, like seriously.
Getting hit
What's
with
a puck weigh?
They're frozen and they're hard. Black they're hard. And they're hard.
They hurt.
Yeah.
So what type of gear are you wearing on the ice?
Just pretty much everything that covers most your body, except the helmet only goes like just that visor that comes across. So you're, you know, exposed from here down, hence the tooth is missing.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Hey, you look like a hockey player too, don't you?
Yeah.
You keep that? Is that your trademark now?
Oh, I lost it.
You lost
gone.
It?
Yeah,
gone.
I don't know where it is.
Zamboni.
Yeah, the Zamboni cleaned it up.
Yeah. So what happened there? Did you get a couple of puck in the mouth or did you?
I got high stick. Shattered all my teeth. My bone up here was all shattered. Split my lip open in the inside. Had a few stitches in there, but it's just part of the game. It's what
is
we
that
play.
Back on the ice 2 days later to play again?
We actually played the next night. I finished the game and then went to the dentist. I was there for a couple of hours. He stitched me up and then we played the next night as well.
Tough sport. Gotta love sport. So, mate, what's life after hockey for you?
I'll be honest, I haven't really thought about it. I'm going to take some time off and spend, you know, hopefully we'll have kids by then as well, the wife and I. So probably take a little bit of time off and just forget about it all and, I don't know, go on a nice little holiday for a couple of years and then come back to reality and maybe get a job or, I don't know, I haven't really thought about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah? Wow. It's a big life after sport.
Yeah.
Open a hockey rink in Australia.
Oh, I'd love that.
Hockey real. School or something, maybe.
That'd be fun.
Give me a call.
I will. I'll give you a call.
I'll help.
Give body science a call.
Yeah.
Jansen's gone. He's been here 10 years. He's gone within 10 minutes of chatting.
Could be a new factory.
You reckon?
And put a rink in the back.
Everyone on ice.
I wouldn't get any. Yeah, quicker orders, eh?
Yeah.
Orders will be
slide
quicker.
Them out.
Yeah, slide around, skating around the rink and everything. Grab, I wouldn't need the truck boxes out of that. And everything.
That's a good idea. Shoot the boxes in the back of the truck.
For those listening that don't understand, James looks after our big distribution. So anything big we're shipping, James is in control. So hence the on ice joke.
The warehouse talk, yep.
Yeah. So how did you guys actually, what's your story into body science? Like obviously James is an ice hockey nut because we celebrate all the games here as well. We go through all the playoffs. We have full daily updates on what's happening.
Yep, that's right. Sometimes I wear my jersey to work.
As long as it's fluoros for those people in OHS. How did you two hook up to, you know, become part of the body science family? Because it's been a while, hasn't it? You did a whole lot of videos for us years ago. We did a series.
So you did training breakdowns and some blogs and everything. I think I just, you know, I heard about Nathan playing. He just scored a goal, I think, in the Spengler Cup against fellow Canadian Marty Turco. I work for an Australian company. Let's see if we can help out this guy.
This is the best of the best.
Yeah.
So what, did you just DM or something? You just text him? Yeah, how did it happen?
I think I messaged you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, if you want to chat about some opportunities, give me a message. And
that's a fantastic story. We should have talked about that a lot more. That's awesome, mate.
Yeah, I think I approached
you. So how many times did he stalk you before you thought, shit, this guy's not going away, I'm actually going to answer this?
I think I got back to you fairly quick.
You got back to me pretty quick. So I only talked to him a few times on the phone, and this is the first time I met him, so it's pretty cool.
I remember when you came up the day you came up to me and said, I've gone, sorry, James, I didn't understand one word you just said. Nathan Walker wants to talk to me about this. And I'm like, okay, who's Nathan Walker?
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's playing what? Ice hockey? Where's that? Like, and it was one of those great moments because, I mean, James has been with us 10 years.
Yeah.
And just obviously the excited Canadian turned into this blubbering mess of excitement that, you know, one of the idols of his sport was actually answering him firstly.
Yeah.
Well. And secondly, want to be part of something. Obviously, James loves what we do here. You know, you don't stay with someone for 10 years if you don't believe in the story.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why I wanted to get James on the podcast today, because I think it's a really great thing that, you know, you don't get that from a lot of people in life, that, you know, we're 20 years in sport and we've given our soul back to sport and we love that. That was our choice to do that. And it's really nice that our team takes on those same values to, because I would never, ever have even, you know, if you'd contacted us, it would have opened the doors and chatted and done all the great things. But it's really good that someone like James reached out to you and, like, here you are today.
Yeah.
You know, sitting with us, you've kicked every possible goal in the NHL you can. Like, what is your next goal in the NHL? I've talked about you after sport, but do you, another ring? Is it one for each finger? Is that the theory?
There's always more room for a ring.
More room for a ring.
Yeah. No, I think it's just, you know, you have a lot of cool people come through the door, like different athletes and everything, and football players and track stars and kayakers and stuff like that. And I'm passionate about hockey, and I just like to, it's good that you guys support Nathan as well.
So, mate, that's a great story. You're an Australian success. I mean, I'm really hoping that Australia gets behind you and what you're doing in the States. Like, it's,
yeah, cheers.
You're not just an athlete that's made American sport. You pioneered there. You're the first one to do it. You know, not many people can say that. You pulled a ring, two rings?
One ring.
So I'm just anticipating the next one. Sorry.
There you go.
I like to visualize.
Confidence.
So yeah, it's good. So you're back. When are you back on the ice?
Over there, beginning of September or so, late August.
September.
Yeah.
So the first face off is September.
Or is that pre-season? Pre-season's first. Yeah, in September, but the first regular season games beginning of October. Sometime.
Beginning of October.
Yeah.
And then the grind starts.
Yeah. And the season grind.
And are you a good chance to stay at the club all year?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So you still don't even know.
Grind. Yeah. You know whether, you know, when I get there to camp, and just got to make sure I have a good camp and just kind of take it from there.
Before we go, how do you, in, like, obviously stability is something most people in life look for, and so your contracts in NHL obviously don't really mean a lot because it's whatever the coach wants or the club wants, and that goes into trading up and down and all that something. So how do you deal with that? You're a game by game basis. That's the loyalty from both sides here.
You do get a bit of an indication, just kind of the way you can feel it out and suss it out, what's going to happen and where you're going to be and everything that goes along with that. But yeah, there's some guys who move around to three or four teams a year, and you know, they can never just find their mojo with that team. And, you know, unfortunately that does happen to guys. But then you have some guys who sign with a new team and they're there for 10-15 years. So just kind of, you know, if you fall into the right place, then you're in a good spot.
So what was your favorite team growing up?
I like Minnesota, just because I went there when I was younger, so I think I just kind of like them. But I more so like players instead of teams.
Okay.
I would follow players, and then if they move teams, I would just still follow them instead of
one team. That's how it works.
Yeah, sometimes.
For some people, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, some people.
I love my Blackhawks.
Where are they?
In Chicago.
Aren't you Canadian though?
Yeah, no, most of the players are Canadian, so, you know, a majority. No, but I followed Ed Belfour, was my favorite player in Chicago, and then he moved on to San Jose, and then Dallas, and then Toronto, so I started following the Leafs. They haven't won a cup for a while. hopefully, maybe they're going to win a cup soon, I guess.
James, who's your favorite player in the NHL at the moment?
It's got to be Jonathan Toews.
Where does Nathan Walkerson?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, he's sitting next to you, mate. Sorry. Seriously, he's just there.
My favorite Australian NHL player is Nathan Walker.
I'll take it.
There you go.
So when you showed that speed to get the puck to Alex Chiasson, is that how you pronounce
it?
Chiasson.
Chiasson, yeah.
To score that opening goal, is that something that everyone roared about and watched 1,000 times? Or?
Oh, I guess that's, yeah.
Because that's what sort of launched you into
getting that
ring, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually probably one of my biggest highlights in my career is that game. You know, that was a huge goal. It was the one nothing goal, and then they scored to send it into overtime. But, you know, without that goal, you never kind of know what would have happened and where the series would have gone from there. So I think I don't look into it too much, but at the end of the day, for myself personally, I think it was pretty big.
And it was on the highlights. It made TV over here as well. And
mate, you are incredibly humble. I can't say thank you enough for coming on board. I mean, you've come over here for a couple of weeks to spend with family, and you came out to say hello to us, and we really appreciate that. And
thank you so much for having me.
Mate, how do we catch you? What's you're on Instagram, your walks underscore 12, is that right?
Two underscores, walks underscore 12, I think, yeah.
Yeah. So get on board, have a look. Do you have a website or anything people can go and check you out?
I'm actually currently working on one. Okay. So hopefully within the next week or so, I should have one up and running.
Do you know what your domain name is yet?
It will just be nathanwalker.com.au, I think.
.com.au?
I think so, yeah.
Get on there, kids, have a look. Mate, really keen to catch up again next time you're here. And
yeah, for sure.
Get him out to lunch next time, James. What do you reckon?
Yeah, maybe.
James can shout me lunch, how's that?
Yeah. Shout me lunch, too. He hasn't shouted me lunch.
Yeah,
in
there
years.
You go.
Hey? We had cake.
10 years, don't you?
Cake.
Tomorrow.
I buy the cakes, James.
Don't you get everyone lunch for 10 years?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
We're celebrating you, not me. Well, guys, thanks for coming on, mate. Thanks heaps for being on the show. I really appreciate
cheers.
It. Like,
thank
that
you.
Was unreal.
Thanks, Nathan. Thank you.
Game over. Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.